Then Jesus comes and he says, my child, I'm here. Hold on. When the dark of night surrounds and loneliness and emptiness invade my heart, and there's no one to guide me, Jesus comes and he says, my child, hold on. Hold on through the dark times. Hold on though the way seems too long. Something out of my life is yours to control. I give you my heart and my soul. I'll seek your will, never mine. Rich treasures to find. To choices I make along every path that I take. So when I complete life's race, well done, you will say. Something new. He took nothing and made something out of my life. He took nothing,
he took nothing
and made something.
All right, thank you, ladies. Take your Bible this morning, if you would. Turn to 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 1. I'll meet you there in just a moment. I'm going to read you a verse of Scripture out of Acts chapter 16 for just a moment. And I hope that you will pay attention this morning and listen carefully. I want to preach to you this morning about the ideal mother. The ideal mother. Let's stand together, if you would, please. 2 Timothy chapter 1, I'll meet you there. Let me read one verse out of Acts chapter 16 and verse number 1. The Scripture says, then came he, that's Paul, to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, or Timothy, the son of a certain woman. Now, we don't know her name right there, which was a Jewish and believed, but his father was a Greek. Now, here's a young man that had a mother. It says that she was Jewish and believed, but his father was a Greek. Now, we'll get back to that in just a moment. So, the Scripture, which is the best concordance on itself, and best interpreter of itself. Go over, if you would, now to 2 Timothy chapter number 1, and we'll find out who this certain woman was that gave birth to this young man named Timothy. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved brother or beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. Look at verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. I want to take these two passages of Scripture and preach to you this morning on the ideal mother. Now listen, I didn't say the ideal situations for you to become the ideal mother. I said there's a Scripture says you can become the ideal mother. And we're going to take a look at this in just a moment from these passages of Scripture. Now, Father, meet with us this morning. We pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you'd have your way in this service. And Lord God, would you move from pew to pew and person to person this morning? And would you convict where conviction needs to take place? Lord God, would you comfort where comfort needs to take place? And would you give strength where strength needs to be? And so we ask, Lord God, as we've opened the Bible up this morning, please move in a great way. Answer our cry and our prayer this morning for the power of God to fall fresh upon our hearts and minds this morning. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I can think of no higher calling outside of Christianity for a woman than that of being a mother. I highly respect what a woman must endure to become a mother. My wife and I have 5 children. I remember the days and days of morning sickness that she had to endure. I remember the emotional swings that come with pregnancy. I remember the reshaping of the body due to the extra weight that's taken on by carrying a child. I remember the carrying of a baby for 9 months. I remember finally the whole birthing experience in order to bring a child into this world. And let me say something to you today. I wouldn't give you a plug nickel for a kid that didn't respect their mother after what she had done for them and what she's gone through to bring them into this world. Amen. I'll amen myself right there. You see, no wonder there's a bonding that takes place between a mother and her child after she has gone through all of these things to bring that child into this world. No wonder a mother's love is so powerful and productive in the life of her children. You see, a woman that endures these things from start to finish, may I say, these things are remarkable. And it's been said about many mothers that a mother's hug lasts long after she lets go. A mother's heart is a patchwork of love. A mother forgives us all our faults, not to mention one or two we don't even have. Mother is the bank where we deposit our hurts and our worries. Mother is the one, listen, you can never fool. You can't fool mama. Because you're attached. Mama's attached emotionally to you. Listen, there are no painter's brush nor poet's pen in justice to her fame has ever reached half high enough to write a mother's name. You see, if you were raised without a mother this morning, or maybe you don't know where your mother is or who your mother is this morning, my heart goes out to you today because you've missed out on such a vital part of your life. And that is to know how the love of a mother feels to embrace you unconditionally. Let me make a personal appeal today to all mothers to take your responsibility seriously and never underestimate your investment of love and care toward your children. We have in our text today a case where we learn about a mother whose name was Eunice. Scripture does not reveal a tremendous amount of information about her. It doesn't tell us all about her, but we do know this. We know that she was a good mother, and we know that she was a mother that made an impact on her son. You see, the Scripture doesn't tell us whether this mother had any money at all. We don't know whether she was wealthy. We don't know what kind of money she had. We don't know if she had great possessions. We don't even know if she had good health. The Scripture doesn't tell us whether she had good health or not. The Scripture also doesn't tell us whether she was an educated woman. It doesn't tell us any of this. We just know what we have in Scripture says that this mother, Eunice, turned out to be the ideal mother for her son. You say, preacher, what did she do? How did it come to pass that she became the ideal mother? Well, first of all, we find in Acts chapter 16, first of all, that she was a saved mother. She was a saved mother. You see, in Acts chapter 16, verse number 1, it says that the mother of Timotheus was a Jewish and believed. She was a believing mother. She was a mother at some point had put her faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Now let me say something too. We learn in 2 Timothy chapter 1 in verse number 5. You say, preacher, what happened to bring her to Christ? I don't know, but I know this, that Eunice's mother, Lois, which was Timothy's grandmother, was also a saved woman. So I don't know how that Eunice came to Christ. It may have been that her mother Lois took her aside one day by her bedside and opened the Scriptures up and showed her how to be saved. I don't know how Eunice got saved. I just know that she was a believer in Jesus Christ. You see, the ideal mother today is a saved mother, a mother that trusts in Jesus Christ. You see, for Eunice, salvation opened her heart to the wisdom of Scripture and its teachings. We're going to look at this in just a moment. You see, the thing about it is, a saved mother, the Spirit of God comes and lives inside them. And the Spirit of God teaches us the Word of God as we read it. You see, Eunice was a saved mom, and her salvation opened her heart up to the wisdom of the Scripture teachings. You see, salvation gave her the power of God to raise her son correctly. You say, where did she get all that information? Well, first of all, it started by being saved. It started by the Christian life. And if you're here this morning, mama, and you know not Jesus Christ, listen, you want to become the ideal mother this morning? Come to Christ. It opens the whole world, the spiritual world, up to you. It opens up the teachings of the Word of God up to you. Listen, you want to raise good kids? This is how you do it right here. But listen to you, if you have not the Spirit of God, you're not going to care about the instruction manual. Listen, wouldn't it be great, mamas and daddies, if when children were born, they came with an instruction manual tied to their big toe? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Then all you'd have to do is just pull the instruction manual out and just follow the instructions. Some of it would be just add water. That would be wonderful. The problem is, it doesn't work that way. Can I say to you, mamas and daddies, this morning, raising children's hard work. And I want to say this, parenting is not for cowards. You see, she was a saved mama. Let me tell you, many good men believe that Acts chapter 16 implies that Timothy's father may not have been a believer. You hear me? That means if that's the case, then she had to raise this boy on her own. Based on what she had gotten someday through salvation and the instructions of the Apostle Paul, she may have had to raise this boy by herself. Because the Scripture never mentions in 2 Timothy in chapter 1 in verse number 5, it just talks about his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. You would think if his daddy was saved and was a spiritual leader, he would have gotten mentioned somewhere, don't you? But he didn't get mentioned. All we find out is that his daddy was a Greek. That's all we know. And many great scholars believe that Timothy's daddy may not even have been a Christian. So that means that his mother Eunice had to raise him in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, maybe without any support from the father. Let me say to you this morning, if you're here this morning and you're a single mom, God bless your soul. You have a hard job. You have a difficult job this morning. But let me tell you something. Let me give you just some pastorly advice this morning. You stick to the Word of God. You stick around church. You have those kids under the godly influence of great men of God that exist in this church. And let me tell you something. God will fill that void that's empty in your home. Fill it with the love of God through good men. Let me say something. If you've got daughters, you put your daughters around godly ladies in our church. Did you see these five or six ladies in here that were 80 years old or older? You know what? Your daughters need to rub shoulders with some of these ladies. Listen, they forgot most of more than some of us know. And what we need is we need more of the godly influence. Listen, Eunice was a saved mom. That's the way to become an ideal mother. The second thing I noticed here about Eunice was this. Not only was she a saved mother, number two, she was a teaching mother. She was a teaching mother. Now, you know the scripture talks about children left to themselves. You know what it says about children left to themselves? They bring their mother shame. That means children have to be taught, right? Now I want you to listen. I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. I'm going to tell you the truth, all right? The truth is, the facts say that full-time working moms spend an average of 19 minutes a day with their children. An average of 19 minutes. A stay-home mom spends an average of 6 hours a day with her children. You say, preacher, does a stay-home mom guarantee good kids? No. But if you spend 6 hours with your children compared to 19, you got a better shot at it. You see, what I'm saying to you today is we have a generation growing up with no character, no integrity, no principles, and no ethics. And it's becoming more and more foreign in our generation today because too many mothers are pursuing careers, social status, and have become their child's agent instead of their mother. They're serving as their agent to see, what can I do to sell my child off to this or that, to professional sports or this? How much can I do, use my child to get money? You say, preacher, that's terrible, but it's happening everywhere. You say, well, boy, I would never do that. Well, you know what? You better check out how much time you're spending with your kids. Because you listen to me, mamas, listen to me. Those of you that have little boys, you better fill that void because there's going to come a day if you don't give them the motherly love, they're going to find a woman that will. And they'll find somebody very early in life that will give them that void that's missing. You see, mamas, the important thing is that you spend time with those kids and develop character and integrity and principles and ethics. I read an article some time ago in Texas Monthly. This has been several months ago. And I was reading, and I love to hunt and fish and things like that. And I was reading an article, and it was talking about in the state of Texas, in the year 2000, there was 1 million-plus hunters and fishermen that had purchased hunting and fishing license in the state of Texas. I read an article, and I think this was in 2010, Brother Carlos, that in the state of Texas, it was 800, just barely 800,000. It had dropped almost 250,000. Well, they begin to ask these people that wrote the article in Texas Monthly why they thought that the case was that there were less people hunting and fishing, yet less men and young boys out there. And this was the number one answer when they polled all these people. No parenting in the home. And the number one answer was no daddy's influence in the home. And let me tell you something, folks. You say, well, what does hunting have to do with what we've got going on today? Because it's a sure tell sign of the direction our generation is going. It's a telltale sign of where our country and where the world is heading down the road. You see, I said that Eunice was a saved mom. That's an ideal mother. Number two, she's a teaching mom. Let me show you this. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 14. Paul says, but continue thou, speaking to Timothy, in the things which thou hast learned, and has been assured of, listen to this now, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And then he goes on to say, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. He said all scripture is given by inspiration and is profitable, or inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished in all good works. Go back to verse 14. Did you notice that Paul said, continue thou in the things that thou hast learned, and knowing of whom thou hast learned them? And then in context, he goes right into that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. You know who I think he's insinuating may have taught him this? Mama! Because he told us in 2 Timothy chapter 1 that it was his mother Eunice that instilled in him these principles, these values. And you know what? It sounds to me like she taught him the Scriptures. You say, preacher, what'd she teach him? I think, first of all, number one, she taught him how to trust Jesus Christ. Listen to me, mamas, this morning. It's a proven fact that mamas spend twice and sometimes up to three times as much time with their children as the father does. And you know something this morning, mamas? You have an opportunity. You've got them little old babies surrounding you. Listen, we get too busy trying to teach them how to catch a football or throw a baseball or kick a soccer ball or jump high or run fast, and we forget about Jesus. We forget, listen, what about their soul? What about their life? Mama, listen to me. You have the opportunity this morning to gather those children around you just like Eunice did Timothy and introduce them to the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Listen, the greatest gift one can give their child is the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. Mamas, you have those children, but for a short time. You say, well, preacher, you know what? I really don't want to push religion on them. Okay, then let me ask you, don't push religion on them. How about just push Jesus? Amen. See, we get caught up in pushing religion. Listen, let me tell you something. Religion's never saved anybody. Matter of fact, religion may be sending more people to hell than anything. All I'm saying to you this morning is, how about introduce them to Christ? You know what the ideal mom will be? Number one, she will be a saved mother. Number two, she'll be a teaching mother. She'll teach them about not only how to be saved, listen now, she'll teach them about how to live for Jesus Christ. You see, this mother, Eunice, taught her son how to trust Jesus. She taught her son the importance of the Word of God. Did you notice in verse number 15, it says this thou, or in verse, or in chapter 3, verse 15, he says that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee. Does your Bible say wise right there? You know what the opposite of wise is? That means unwise. And you know what wisdom is? Wisdom is putting to practice the things that you know and applying them. That means a person that's unwise is putting to practice the things that they don't know. And they're unsure of. And listen, your children are going to get educated either by mama and daddy in the home, or they're going to be educated by the world. Which do you like? Because listen, if you'll follow me, I'll show you the product of the world's teaching. You say, where, preacher? Come with me to some rehab centers. Okay? Follow me to some rehab centers and I'll show you. Listen, let me tell you something. I'll show you what the world teaches and what its product is. Let me tell you something, mamas, this morning. You need to teach your children how to accept Christ. Number two, you need to teach them the importance of the Word of God, that the Scripture makes them wise. Listen, you need to get them around you. You need to get them to read the Scriptures with them, and you need to instill it in their heart that they might not sin against God. You see, Scripture not only gives us wisdom, it teaches one what to believe. Did you notice there that he says that Paul said that you've known the Scriptures from a child. He said it'll make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Listen to this. All Scripture is given by inspiration and is profitable for, did you see this word right here? Doctrine. Mamas, you know what we need to do? We need to teach our children what they're to believe. Again, I'll go back. I've heard all the time. Well, I just don't want to push religion on them. Come on, help me out now. Okay? We don't want to push Jesus on anybody, but you know what we'll do? We'll push football on them. We'll push baseball on them. We'll push this and that and all these other things. We'll push hunting and fishing on them, and we'll make them do all these things. But listen, we want you to make your own choice about God. Well, let me tell you something. I found out that people that make their own choice about God normally don't make the right choice. They've got to have guidance, mamas. And the evidence shows that you spend more time with your children than anybody does. The Scripture teaches us what to believe. It's profitable for doctrine. The Scripture also shows us what's wrong. Did you notice it said it's profitable for doctrine and, do you see this word, reproof? Reproof just means what that does, it exposes our faults before God. Scripture shows us what's wrong. That's the reason when it comes time to discipline our children, we need to make sure that we discipline them the biblical way. And that we show them what's wrong and why. they're being disciplined. Why they're being punished. You see, wouldn't it be crazy for you to go down Davis here after church, police officer pull you over, says, listen, I need to see your driver's license and insurance. You say, what for? He said, just give them to me. And you pull him back in jail. Well, and he goes about his business, and he comes back, and you say, well, sir, I'm kind of confused. Why did you pull me over? He said, I just want to pull you over. No reason. I just like pulling people over. And then he writes you a ticket and gives you tickets. Wait a minute, I thought you said you just pulled over. This was for fun. He said, yeah, it's fun to give tickets out too. Now listen, you're going to be irate because you have no idea what you've done wrong. And as far as you're concerned, you haven't done anything wrong. Now you listen to me. I've had five children, and I have never found one child in the history of the world that ever thinks that they ever deserved a spanking. I've never found one child to ever think that they've ever deserved to be disciplined. They're like, well, Mama, it's not my fault. It's... You see, all I'm saying to you is that the Scripture teaches reproof. It shows us what's wrong. Eunice taught Timothy, this is the Word of God. Thus saith the Word of God. This is sin. If you sin against God, you're going to be chastened by the Lord. He said it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof. Look what else he says. For correction. You see, Scripture not only shows us that it's good to make one wise, it shows us what's wrong, but also Scripture tells us how to get it right. That's what correction's for, folks. Correction is to teach in order to do right. Correction is to bring back from error to the proper standard. You know what Eunice did? Eunice taught her son doctrine. She taught her son reproof, what was wrong, and then she taught him how to make it right. Scripture tells us how to get right. And so Mama is ingraining all of these things into her son. And then if you'll notice the last thing there, it says it's profitable for instruction in righteousness. You see, the Scripture is one to make one wise, to show us what's wrong. It's there to show us how to get it right. And then Scripture displays to us how to keep it right. That's what instruction is. How to keep myself right with God. Instruction is conveying knowledge for the purpose of learning and applying. Let me ask you this, mamas. When you tell your children to do something, do you want them to listen and apply? Absolutely, you do. You want them to listen to what you're saying and make the application. Can I say what to you this morning? You know what Eunice taught her son, Timothy? She taught her son not only to listen, but to apply. She taught her son not only listen to what Mama's saying from the Word of God, but make the application. You see, the purpose of Eunice's teaching was that her son would continue in her teaching for a lifetime and listen now and then teach them to his family, to pass it on from generation to generation. Listen, Timothy was to consider the wisdom and experience of his mother who taught him the truth. You see, I said, first of all, the ideal mom is a saved mom, is a teaching mom. She taught him to trust Christ. She taught him the importance of Scripture. She taught her son to be prepared for life. Look at verse 17. And that the man of God might be perfect. That word perfect means mature. That means well-rounded. And then he says, thoroughly furnished. And when you go home today, I'm going to assume that most of you are going to go home to a furnished home. Right? You're going to go home and there's a couch there and there's a chair there. And you're going to have a place where you can sit down. You're going to have a table. Maybe you're going to enjoy a meal together. And you're going to have a furnished home. You're going to have a place of dwelling there that has the necessary tools for you to operate. You know what Eunice gave her son? She gave her son the necessary tools to operate. Listen now, not for now, but for the rest of his life. Mamas, listen to me. I'm going to say it again. You got one shot. One and only one shot. And if we don't take advantage of the opportunity that God gave us, we're going to fail in this area. You see, it's a cruel world full of cruel people. Our children are going to have to be thick-skinned but yet tender-hearted. And this comes through instruction. Mama, you have a great responsibility. Let me give you one more. I said, first of all, the ideal mom's a saved mom. Number two, I said the ideal mom is a teaching mother. And I want to say, number three, that the ideal mother is a faithful mother. Is a faithful mother. Go back to 2 Timothy chapter 1, look at verse 5. He says, Paul said, when I recall call to remembrance, the unfeigned, that means the real, the sincere, the not counterfeit faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also. Now I want to just stop and say this right quick. You can go look here, we're running out of time, but I want to throw this out and you can jot it down, look at it at your own time. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 13 and 14. I believe that Eunice not only was a faithful woman, I believe she was faithful to her husband. I believe she was faithful to her husband. You say, well, how do we know that? Well, I know that she was a godly woman. I know that she believed in the Scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 talks about a saved woman being married to an unsaved man. And here's what it says. It says, if that man, unsaved, is willing to dwell with her and live with her peaceably, you know what she's to do? She is to live with him and to be faithful to him and submissive to him. And you know what he said? He said that when she does that, that the unsaved person, the husband, is sanctified by the wife. And then it goes on to talk about her children also. Now you listen to me, and you listen to me well. Timothy could not have been what he was if Eunice would have been constantly nitpicking and saying, you know what, you're not even a saved man. I'm not submitting to you. You're not even a saved man. You're not even a leader. You're not even a Christian. I'm not going to listen to anything. Listen, you know what? What we'd have had? We wouldn't have had a Timothy. We might have had a Demas. You see, the thing about it is, you know what Timothy saw displayed in Mama? I believe he saw the display of a faithful woman to her husband. Because she knew her son was watching. She knew that her husband's soul might be at stake. She knew her desire to please God was ultimate in her life. And she didn't want to do anything that might cast doubt on the rearing of her son. She was faithful to her husband. Can I say next, she was faithful to her son to love him for Christ's sake? Now folks, listen to me. Psalm chapter 127 says, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. That means that child, now listen, I'm going to blow some of you's mind that are new to Christianity. Those children that you have, I got some news for you. They're not yours. They're God's. You say, well, why do I have them? He gave them on loan. He gave them on loan for you to love them for Christ's sake. And you know what? Mamas, listen to me. Your hands are Jesus' hands. Your voice is Jesus' voice. Let me tell you something. I'll say something else. The closest thing that some of these little kids know in their infancy, in their young childhood, the closest thing they know to what God might be like and what God is what you present to them in that home. No wonder we have kids that are bailing on our homes. Wait till I turn 18, I'm bailing out. You know why? It may be because we haven't presented Christ in the right perspective. We've presented God as a mean old ogre that's sitting in heaven and looking for opportunities to discipline somebody. If that's the way that we've displayed God, no wonder they take off when they turn 18. She was faithful to her son to love him for Christ's sake, to teach him for service's sake, to support him for future's sake. He became a preacher. Did you notice that in 2 Timothy 3? That the man of God. Man, wouldn't that be exciting? That your kid comes to you and said, Mama, I love you and I appreciate everything, but I think God's calling me to do something in the ministry. I think God's calling me, Mama, to teach a Sunday school class. I think God's calling me, Mama, to do something special. Let me tell you something, most mamas that have an out-of-body experience. You see, she was faithful to her husband, faithful to her son. But listen to me, here's the last thing. She was faithful to her God. She was faithful to her God. You see, she didn't put herself before her God. She didn't put her career before her God. She didn't put things before her God. She didn't put material possession before her God. Listen to me, she didn't even put her family before her God. Because she got saved first before there ever was a family. She became a believer. You see, here's what we like, mamas. We like the rewards of a Timothy. A child who obeyed, a child who listened, a child who applied his mother's teaching and love and faith. We love the product and the rewards of a Timothy. The thing that most of us don't like is the investment required to produce a Timothy. That's what we don't like. Because you know what? It kind of puts a kink in our lifestyle. because we've got to invest time. Let me tell you something. Say, preacher, these kids, they're about to drive me crazy. They constantly want me to read with them. They constantly want me to tell them a story. Or they will constantly want to go to the park and feed the ducks. Let me tell you something. You better thank God they want to go feed the ducks. You better thank God they want you to read to them. Because you listen to me, mamas. There's mamas today that are sitting in their home today without their kids because their kids don't want to have anything to do with them because there was a time in their infancy mama wouldn't read a book to them. Mama wouldn't take them out to feed the ducks. Parents wouldn't spend time with them. And now the thing about it is now parents in their old age, they want their kids to turn the tables and come home. And now they don't want to. Because mama wouldn't even read a book to them when they were kids. You better take advantage of the time. You see, nothing can substitute for a mother's care. Daycare is not responsible to teach your kid values. You see, too many homes today have turned over their values, their child's learning of principles and values and character. They've turned it over to Sesame Street or Clifford the Big Red Dog or Barney or some other character to instruct their children on building values. Oh, by the way, neither is the church responsible for building character into your children either. Then you know what the church will do? The church will reinforce it. But it's not the church's responsibility to build character into your kids. See, the church can certainly reinforce character. It can certainly help you and assist you, mom and dad, in the process. But ultimately, the responsibility of building and creating values and character in your children and raising them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, that's your responsibility. And that rests squarely on your shoulders as a parent. And specifically, mom, you play a huge key role. You want to be an ideal mom this morning? First of all, be a saved mom. If you're here this morning and you know not Jesus Christ, you come. Listen, that's the road that you can get on to being the ideal mom that your children need. Number two, be a teaching mom. Teach your children to love this book. Teach your children to love authority. Teach your children to respect authority. Teach your children to love the church and love their Sunday school teacher. Listen, teach your children to love God. You see, Eunice was the ideal mom. A saved mom, a teaching mom. But listen, she was a faithful mom. Faithful to her husband, faithful to her son, but most of all, faithful to her God. Do you want to be an ideal mom this morning? All you have to do is put to practice those simple little things. And you know what the product will be? The product will be a Timothy. Just like Eunice. Listen, we don't know if she was healthy. We don't know if she was rich. We don't even know if she was educated. But you know, the thing that we do know that she took counsel. She took Scripture and applied it. And guess what the product was? A son that served God. Mamas, you want that? Listen, what do you want this morning? Do you want a child that serves God and lives right and is upstanding and respects authority? Or do you want a child that sticks their tongue out of authority and eventually you one day? You say, well, preacher, that would be the most painful thing I think I could ever go through in life. Well, then listen, be a saved mom. Be a teaching mom. Be a faithful mom. I want you to bow your heads for a moment. Every head bowed, every eye closed. No one's looking around. How many can say, preacher, I am saved this morning. No question about it. I'm a child of God. I want you to slip your hand way up high and say, I'm a Christian. I've been saved. And if I died, I'm going to heaven. No question about it, preacher. That's me. That's me. All right? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Now, Father, I ask you, please, would you hover over this auditorium this morning? Would you move in a way today, Lord God, that would be so special that, Lord, conviction would fall upon our hearts about our area of need? I ask you, Father, this morning, please, that you might show yourself great and mighty in our congregation this morning. There were some mamas that couldn't raise their hand this morning, and I want them to be the ideal mother for their children. I want them to be, Lord, a saved mother. And I pray that when the invitation starts this morning, that they've already determined, I'm going to accept Jesus Christ. I'm going forward today to make that decision for Christ. Some this morning need to be a teaching mother. Maybe they're already saved, and maybe they're in the home, and maybe they have not been fulfilling the responsibilities in which you have put, Lord, upon them and teaching their children in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. Some today, Lord, need to be faithful moms, faithful to their husband, faithful to their children, faithful to their God. Whatever the case may be, would you move? Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, no one's looking around. There were a few people just a moment ago that could not raise their hand and say that, "Preacher, I'm saved." It's not that I don't want to be. "Preacher, I want to go to heaven." That's not the case. It's just that I've just never done anything about it. You say, "Preacher, if I died where I am today, if I died this afternoon, if I died in my sleep tonight, I'm not sure that heaven's my home. Please, please, preacher, pray for me." No one's looking but me, and you say, "That's me." I want you to slip your hand way up high. Just slip it up, slip it up, slip it up. You say, "Preacher, that's me. I don't know for sure if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Preacher, pray for me. Pray for me. I need the Lord." Just slip it up. You say, "Preacher, that's me." Slip it up, slip it up. Anybody like that, just slip it up and I'll pray for you. Maybe you're here this morning and say, "Preacher, I've already been saved, but I've never been baptized after I got saved. I know it's the right thing to do, and preacher, please pray for me. I'm a Christian, but I've never followed the Lord in believer's baptism after I got saved." You say, "Pray for me. That's me." I want you to slip your hand way up high. I said, "That's me." Just slip it up and I'll pray for you. You say, "Preacher, that's me." Slip it up, slip it up, slip it up. All right? God bless you. Maybe you're here this morning and you're a mom and say, "Preacher, I haven't been as teaching as I feel that I ought to be in the lives of my children. I need prayer. Would you pray that I'll be a better teacher in my home to my children? That I may be a better instructor in the things of God?" Say, "Preacher, I need prayer in that area." Nobody's looking but me. And you'd say, "Yes, preacher, I'm that mother. I need to be a better instructor. I need to be a better teacher in my home about the principles and the things of God. Please pray for me." I want you to slip your hand way up high. Say, "That's me. That's me. That's me." Just slip it up, slip it up, slip it up, slip it up, slip it up. God bless you. All right, good. You can put your hands down. Let me ask one last thing. Say, "Preacher, I need to be more faithful to my God." You say, "I'm a mama. I love my kids. I love my husband. I need to be more faithful to the Lord. I need to be more faithful in our home. I need to be more faithful at church. Preacher, please pray for me. I want to be a faithful mom." Nobody's looking but me. Just slip your hand way up high. Say, "That's me. I want to be a faithful mom." Just slip it up, slip it up, slip it up. Say, "Preacher, I want to produce good kids." All right, God bless you. God bless you. You can put your hands down. The Father, I pray for this invitation time that you'd move in such an incredible way. I pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit would move from pew to pew and person to person and answer our cry and our request that you'd have your will and your way. Would you please move in the hearts? There were many mamas this morning that could not raise their hand and say that they were a saved mom. I pray, Lord God, that even though they didn't raise their hand a moment ago, that at the invitation, Spirit of God, would you draw them, please, to the altar. There are families here this morning that need to make right with each other. Maybe there are children that need to make right with mom and moms that need to make right with children. And Lord God, would you open the invitation? Would you open the altars up this morning and draw family together to build that area of their life that they might serve you with all their heart, soul, and mind? And then, Father, there were mamas this morning said they want to do a better job as being an instructor and a teacher in their home to their children. And then there were some moms that said they wanted to be more faithful in their home and to their church. And Lord God, would you answer their requests and their desire? And we'll certainly commend this invitation into your hands and ask you, Lord, move. Save souls, we pray in Jesus' name. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. And as you stand, I'm going to ask the instruments to begin to play. I'm going to ask Brother Shaddix as he will begin to sing. Listen to me, mamas. You ought to grab your children by the hand this morning and come. And if nothing else, kneel with them and pray with them. Pray God's hand upon them and protection upon them. Many of you raised your hand and said, "Preacher, I want to be a better teacher. Would you come? Would you come? Would you come and fulfill that this morning? So I want to be a better teacher as a mother. I want to be a better instructor in my home to my children. You come. You come. You come. Listen, you have but one chance. You have but one shot. Would you come? Husbands, would you grab mom by the hand? Would you grab that little wife by the hand and lead her to the altar? And commit your support to her. Commit your love to her. Please, come on. Come on, would you come? If you need someone to pray with, we'll get you somebody to pray. If you're a lady and you need somebody to pray with, we'll pray with you. We'll have a lady pray with you. But you come. Listen, on this special day, on this special Mother's Day, let me tell you something. Some of you are going to take it for granted. Some of you are not going to have mom with you this time next year. And you're going to wish to God that you'd spent more time. You're going to wish to God that you had loved Mom and cared for Mom more. Come on. Whatever you need, you come. You come. You come. We'll get somebody to pray with you. Come on, mamas. You see, if mamas would come and to this altar and repent, come back to the Lord to be more teaching, to be more faithful, can you imagine what the next generation would be?